for the shoppers in the room today, today is one of those days when we get a 2 for the price of 1 special, isn't it? A bargain Sunday. And I'm glad to see that we are doing our shopping in church today, because this is where the valuable goods happen to be, the Word of God, as proclaimed in Scripture, as we meditate on the gospel reading for today. Because today is both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, we start Holy Week as a special time of prayer and solemn reflection. For firstly, we join Christians all around the world to commemorate Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. And secondly, we take time to meditate on Jesus' passion and death as we make our own journey to the cross this week. And for many Christians, this is not only a special time for prayer, but it is also a time for preparation. So tell me, when was the last time you prepared for a really important guest? Think about it. Well, part of my own experience is that I grew up in a very small town on a little island in the Caribbean. And so the visits of heads of state, of dignitaries and celebrities were really very special for the entire community, in fact, for the entire island. All around, everything was freshly painted. The roads were resurfaced, and the route of the motorcade, because there was usually a motorcade, was lined with flags, with banners, and waving school children who got a day off and a special treat for the occasion. Now, does anyone else share that, a similar experience? Well, it's not only in those days that these things happen. Even today, the visits of important guests require much preparation, including detailed itineraries, guest lists, and of course, in these days, top security. And very often, these activities are accompanied by lots of publicity, lots of activity, and sometimes lots of propaganda, isn't it? But for a minute, let us just think of the preparation that went into the Pan Am Games, events like the Toronto Film Festival, or any other significant occasion. And I must say that it was similar in the days of Jesus, particularly for entry processions by generals, by governors, or the emperor himself, as these were important occasions to display Roman political and military power. And I would imagine that lots of preparation went into those visits as well, as compared to Jesus' modest entry into Jerusalem. For we learned from Scripture this morning that on their way from Jericho, Jesus and the disciples came to a little village just outside Jerusalem. And as they approached the village, Jesus instructed 2 disciples to find a donkey and its colt, which would be waiting there for them. And accompanied by his disciples, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, a common everyday animal that is used in everyday life. And Matthew's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem reminds us, firstly, that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy in Zechariah, and as articulated in verse 5 of the gospel reading for today, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So first of all, the scripture passage for today reminds us of the prophecy from Zechariah. Secondly, perhaps Jesus used an everyday working animal, nothing fancy, to declare that it was just another day at work, as he continued to do the work that the Father had sent him to do. First of all, then, fulfillment of the prophecy. Secondly, it's another working day. And thirdly, as a sign of Jesus' humility, because Jesus came riding on a donkey instead of riding on a horse or sitting in a chariot. And perhaps it is also symbolic of Jesus' goal of service to humanity. And this is in place of the authority and control under which the Jewish people lived at that time. You might be familiar with this saying, and it goes something like this. Everybody loves a parade. Everybody loves a parade. And you know what? I tried to find the source of this saying and I couldn't find it. So I don't even know whose original words they were. Nevertheless, I'm sure that you've heard it before. And for many here today, our experiences with parades might date back to childhood, when we sat on the shoulders of our parents, our uncles, our grandparents, to look at a parade. Perhaps we started out by participating in parades. Some of us here might have participated as members of a marching band. And of course, for those of us who've been following up the hockey, we realize that the Leafs clinched a playoff spot last night. So I think it's important for us to start planning what? Why are you smiling? The Stanley Cup Parade. So let us start preparing now. It's about time, I know you're thinking. But God is in the midst of everything. So let us start planning the Stanley Cup Parade here in the city of Toronto. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it seemed like everybody who loved a parade showed up, because the whole community came out. Could you imagine what it might have been like? For we are told that the crowds gave Jesus the red carpet treatment. Some spread their garments, and others cut down branches from the trees and scattered them along the way. And they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as they proclaimed Jesus as the great prophet from Nazareth. Now, some biblical scholars have suggested that at this point in the history of the Jewish people, the crowds were looking forward to the end of oppression from the Roman Empire. And perhaps this was more on their minds than the spiritual salvation that Christ offered. For although Jesus was generally regarded as some sort of prophet, people at the time found it difficult to accept him. Why? Because he did not fit their preconceived idea of a conquering king. Why? Because instead of using a horse and chariot, here was this king making his grand entrance on a donkey. And so he did not fit the mold. But we must bear in mind, however, that crowds are fickle, aren't we? For the same crowd that welcomed Jesus on his entry into Jerusalem would bow to pressure and desert him a few days later. And my friends, we are no different, aren't we? As we proclaim Christ and yet desert him when we do not stand up for what is right, when we forsake those in society who are more vulnerable, and when we ourselves allow doubts and fears to strangle our faith. So what can we apply to our own lives of faith as we journey this Holy Week? What can we apply as we experience the grace of God found in Christ? A few thoughts to consider. First of all, we might think of Jesus as the humble servant, as he revealed himself as the Son of God in service to humanity. Jesus as a humble servant. Secondly, we might think of our own human frailty. For as we make our own journey to the cross this week, we are confronted with all of our doubts and all of our fears. Jesus as a humble servant, our own human frailty. And thirdly, we might think of God's amazing grace in saving those who trust in him. God's amazing grace. Today we are all part of the crowd singing Hosanna. But what if we were to look at Palm Sunday from Jesus' perspective? Allow me briefly to share a point of view from a resource called Ministry Matters. And I quote very quickly and briefly. Jesus entered Jerusalem fully aware of what awaited him. Jesus knew the Hebrew people desired a civil rebellion against the Roman occupancy. Jesus knew his call was greater than this moment in history. Jesus knew the people he loved and the very people he had come to save would betray him to both religious and governmental authorities. What did Palm Sunday look like to him as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey? End of quote. For many of us, Palm Sunday has been described as the calm before the storm, as Jesus now enters into this critical phase of his earthly ministry with humility instead of pomp and ceremony. For he arrived in Jerusalem, he was greeted by an adoring crowd, and for this short time at least, it appeared that all is well. But within a few short days, the welcome would turn to disappointment and to hostility. The crowds had praised him, but we agree that he was not the type of king that they expected. He would be humiliated, but later he would be exonerated. So, my sisters and brothers in Christ, as we start our trip through this Holy Week, with the Prince of Peace, let us keep our eyes on the cross as we follow the path that leads to hope. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we prepare to enter Holy Week, help us to be more like Christ, not seeking empty praise, but rather holy humility. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.